When you're playing in the Suffering Olympics, you're comparing other people's struggles to your life. And when you do that, it's easy to say like, well, that's nothing. That's nothing compared to what I'm going through. Maybe compared to your cancer diagnosis, someone else's flat tire seems like a non-issue. But the fact is that person doesn't have cancer. They're just trying to make it to work on time and not get fired. And to them, that flat tire is the most problematic thing that could have possibly happened in that moment.
The Happy Healthy Human podcast will help you build your happy, healthy life. Your host, Paul Levitin, is a board-licensed health and wellness coach, nutrition coach, personal trainer, and behavior change specialist with over 10 years of experience helping people create positive life change. Each week, he discusses topics that will help you understand yourself, why you do the things you do, and how to take steps to create the life of your dreams. He talks with experts from therapists to addictions counselors, coaches, trainers, CEOs, financial planners, and more. If you've ever wondered how can you become the best, happiest, healthiest version of yourself, you've come to the right place.
Today is a special day. Not just because every day is a special day, even though I think that's true too. I'm recording this on Monday, December 18th, 2023, which is my 34th birthday. I am a Sagittarius baby. And as I sit here this morning, sipping my cold brew, I really can't help but just smile as I look at what my life has become. I feel good, most importantly. I'm happy. I'm healthy. And that's, as you might have guessed, kind of my whole thing. And personally, I'm not very big on birthdays. When I was in my 20s, it was a big deal. I would always have a big birthday party. We'd go out in Manhattan. I'd invite all my friends. And it was always fun. But in reality, it was just more of an excuse to get drunk, which I probably didn't need more of. And even though I still love my friends and I love getting together with them, I've definitely taken a break on getting blackout drunk these days. So taking it easy. Tonight, my girlfriend is taking me out to dinner at a chic new restaurant here in Austin where we're currently living. Aside from that, it's just business as usual. I'm spending my day writing, recording, exercising, because these are the things that I enjoy. I've built a life that I don't need to escape from. So birthdays and holidays are great, but I enjoy every day. And just sitting here reflecting on that literally has me smiling. So thank you for being here and being along for the ride. And even though I'm not the biggest on celebrating my birthdays these days with a big party, I do like to use my birthday as a time for reflection. I mean, this time of the year, it kind of goes hand in hand. It's my birthday. It's the end of the year. There's lots of family time because there's lots of holidays around. Work tends to be a bit slower. So it's a great time for me to sit and take a breath, take a beat, look back and reflect, and look forward and plan. So last week, leading up to my birthday today, I sat down to write. I didn't really know where it was going to go, but I knew I wanted to write something around my birthday, something reflective. And what I ended up with was a list of thoughts, lessons, tidbits of life advice. They're just things that have been top of mind for me, things that I've been talking about with my girlfriend, with clients, with friends, things that I've given talks about throughout the year. And I chose 34 bits of advice to give on my 34th birthday. And I released it as a blog and to my newsletter. So if you aren't subscribed to my blog or don't get my newsletter, you can go to the show notes in whatever app you're listening to right now and click Happy Healthy Newsletter and you can sign up. It's always free. And that's where I share a lot of other helpful stuff aside from what I do here on the podcast. So I wrote the blog last week. And then I asked the people who read my newsletter to let me know which of the 34 pieces of advice they'd like me to go a little bit deeper on. So which of the 34 things could use a little bit more explanation or simply what resonated with them and they'd like me to expand on. So I appreciate all the people who took the time to reply. And today I'm going to take three of those pieces of advice and dig a little deeper into them. So if you want to read the full list of all 34 pieces of life advice, go into the show notes, again, whatever app you're listening to this podcast on, and click 34 pieces of life advice, and that'll take you to the blog. You can read the whole thing there. The first point that I'm going to expand on today, the request came from Teresa. So thank you, Teresa, for reaching out about this one. And this is bullet number 2 on the list, which is everyone is struggling. The only thing with 100% success rate is death. And I got this, I was speaking at a seminar a few weeks back, and right before I went up to speak, they were doing a feedback session with the audience. And one of the participants sitting in the audience was talking about something. And I heard him say, the only thing with 100% success rate is death. And then he just kept talking. And I don't really know what his actual point was, but that piece right there hit me. I don't know why it hit me so hard, but it's stuck with me since that day. Because there's so much we get caught up in, so much that we obsess over, so much we like or dislike. We judge everyone else. We judge ourselves. And there's so much we don't know and so much we don't understand. But at the end of the day, one thing we do know is that we're all headed to the same place. The one thing we do know for sure is that no one gets out alive. And that means what we do have, all of us, is a short 60, 70, hopefully 80 or 90, maybe 100 years on this planet. And that's it. And we're all trying to make the most of it. And in that time, we're all figuring it out and we're all struggling. So the first thing I do when I speak with a new client who I'm trying to help is I let them know that what I don't do is play what I call the suffering Olympics. And the suffering Olympics is what I call it when we humans do what we all tend to do, which is compare our suffering, our pain, our struggling to others. And it's what happens when you feel like your situation is so unique that it makes you special. And then that becomes what keeps you stuck. You start to say, well, I know everyone is busy, but I'm really busy. Yeah, I know groceries are so expensive, but my job just doesn't pay enough. Or I'm sure everyone's kids are challenging, but my situation is blank. Doesn't matter. It's different. It's harder. It's more challenging. It's worse. Whatever it is. The point is we all get sucked into this game, and all it serves to do is magnify the victim mentality. We think my situation is different. Woe is me. And that sends us into a pity party. It's this mentality of I'm different. I'm unique. My situation is different. So that's easy for you to say, but that doesn't pertain to me. And here's why. And the reason this is so unhelpful is because it separates us. It creates a me versus them mentality, and it becomes a justification for why you're in the situation you're in. It becomes ammunition for why you can't. What you should be doing instead is try to remember that this is not a competition. We are all going to the same place. We all have a terminal diagnosis, and it's called life. It may sound grim, but it is the stark truth. Rather than focusing on what you can't do or why you have it worse or why your situation is so different from everyone else's, which it very well may be, your pain may be objectively worse, but it doesn't matter. The suffering Olympics will make you focus on the negative. When what you have to remember is that everyone is running their own race. And even though your thing might be objectively worse, that doesn't matter because struggles are relative. They are subjective. Struggles, pain, discomfort, it's each individual person's. It's theirs. It's mine. It's yours. So when you're playing in the suffering Olympics, you're comparing other people's struggles to your life. And when you do that, it's easy to say like, well, that's nothing. That's nothing compared to what I'm going through. Oh, they have a cold. Well, I got COVID. Oh, well, they got into a car accident. Oh, well, so did I, but I broke my leg. But that's not how it works. Everyone's thing is their thing in their life. Maybe compared to your cancer diagnosis, someone else's flat tire seems like a non-issue. But the fact is that person doesn't have cancer. They're just trying to make it to work on time and not get fired. And to them, that flat tire is the most problematic thing that could have possibly happened in that moment. Because again, it's not a competition. And if it were, it's not a competition that you'd want to win. So that first note was meant as a reminder that we are all fighting different battles. Comparing your suffering to someone else's does no one any favors, least of all you. So instead of focusing on how much harder you have it than others, instead try to remind yourself that their battles feel just as hard to them as your battles do to you. And then remember that we're all headed to the same place. We're all humans going through the same human trials and tribulations. No one gets out alive. So have some compassion for yourself and have some compassion for others. The next piece of advice that I want to expand on, this question came from Maxine, who asked me to talk more about point 24, which is skills worth investing in. Learn how to exercise properly. Understanding calories and nutrition science, and learning how to make money through your hobby that you enjoy. So this might sound a little complex, and it might just be the personal trainer in me, but hear me out. Because a lot of life is subjective. I mean, most of life, just about everything is subjective, honestly. There really are very true objective facts, but there are some. And one such fact is that the human body was made to move and eat nutritious food. Your body will get better when you do that, and it will get worse when you don't. It's very binary. We know this to be a true scientific fact. Lifestyle diseases are literal diseases that come from eating poorly and not moving enough. And conversely, when you eat well and when you move your body, you become more healthy, and many of those diseases resolve themselves. This is literally how the human body is built. So when I talk about exercise, it's not about looks. It's about quality of life. There's a saying that I learned way back in a mobility seminar years ago that motion is lotion. Your joints, your muscles, your bones, if you don't use them, they become stiff and brittle and eventually break down. And when you do use them, they stay strong. They stay limber. And that's not just while you're young. A common misconception is that we get weaker as we age, but that's just not true. The reality is many people get weaker as they age, but that's because they tend to move less as the years go on. So as they're getting older, they're also doing less physical things. They're also exercising less and moving less, and those are the things that would keep them strong. And because of that, they end up getting weaker. So it's not the aging that does it. It's the lack of movement and the lack of exercise. Studies show that people who keep up with exercise into their 60s, 70s, 80s, and beyond can maintain strength, muscle mass, bone density, and all the other things that improve their quality of life. A 70-year-old who's been exercising consistently for their entire adult life can be as strong or stronger than a 40-year-old who hasn't. So it's not like you might assume, well, as I get older, I'm just going to get worse. But the reality, as the saying goes, if you don't use it, you lose it. And that's why investing the time, energy, effort to learn the basics of exercise is so important. Because exercise is one of the few things that is not a should, but a must. It's not my opinion. It's just what your human body demands of you. And so many people have no clue about what good exercise form is or how to select the right exercises. And that then becomes an excuse not to do the thing, not to actually exercise. Since if you don't know what you're doing or you don't feel like you can do it safely, that becomes an excuse to go, well, I don't know what to do, so screw it. And that leads to more sitting on the couch instead of getting the movement in that your body and your brain so desperately crave. And the same goes for eating. I don't care about you losing or gaining weight, but eating is important. The food that you put into your body is literally what you're made of. So how wild is it that the majority of people don't understand things like calories or nutrients or what makes a food good or bad for them? I mean, you eat every day for your entire life. Shouldn't you have a base level understanding of it? They've done studies where people are asked to estimate the calories on a plate of food that they're about to eat, and people over underestimate by hundreds of percent. They're so far off. Many of my clients, when we start to work together, don't even know how to read a nutrition label. How can you possibly hope to stay healthy when you don't know the basic rules that your body operates under? This is not saying that you have to become some expert. You do not need to be a fitness or nutrition guru, but a base level of nutrition and exercise is going to pay dividends for the rest of your life. And that's why I say it's worth investing in, because no matter what, it's going to cost to learn this stuff. You either have to pay someone to teach it to you, or you're going to have to take the time to learn it yourself. So either way, you're going to pay. But no matter what, it is a worthwhile investment. When I was a trainer, people would always tell me, like, well, I can't afford to train with you forever. It's so expensive. And I'd just be like, well, good. You don't have to train with me forever. But what you should do is buy 20 sessions and train with me 2 times a week for 10 weeks. And that will be your education into all things exercise. And what you learn in those 10 weeks will stay with you forever and will vastly improve your quality of life for the rest of your life. Because again, you don't get to stop exercising as long as you want to live a full, healthy life. So to me, that is an investment worth making. It's about improving skills, the skill of exercise, the skill of eating. We do it every day, and yet we know so little about it. So taking the time to improve that will, again, pay dividends forever. So another objective reality is that we live in a world, for better or for worse, where money is important. Money is a thing that consumes so much of our lives and so much of our thoughts. How do I make it? How do I save it? How do I spend it? Money is at the root of our stress and the root of divorces. And it's the thing that guides so much of our decision-making. And sometimes you can hear that and it can be disheartening. We literally are, in a sense, slaves to money. When you have it, life is good. When you don't, life is bad. And for most of human history, that's how it had to be. There were no other options. Money was what allowed you to not starve to death. But times have changed. And lucky for you, you live in the 21st century. It's a very special time to be alive. You are living through a literal revolution. You have the internet. And the internet has changed just about everything about how humans live, especially how we're able to make money. People these days are making money dancing on TikTok, or selling their art on Etsy, or teaching on YouTube, or a million other ways. I mean, I write my blog, and on it I have an option for people to support me by donating or subscribing. So people can pay a few dollars a month for some bonus content and help support me being able to spend more time writing. Is it going to buy me a mansion on the beach? Probably not, but that's fine. That's not the point. The point is that I'm able to start monetizing the thing that I'm so passionate about, writing, creating educational content like blogs and this podcast. And that's something that I can potentially grow. So now I have hobbies that I enjoy doing that also help me grow financially. And that allows me to do more of it and give more time into it. And that makes it more sustainable for me in the long term. Which, side note, if you've gotten value from this podcast over the years and you want to support by becoming a subscriber, click the link that says 34 Pieces of Life Advice Substack in the show notes and become a first subscriber today. So since money and our need for it is not going anywhere, learning to use the things that you enjoy doing to help make money for you is a skill worth having. And again, this is an investment. You might have to pay someone to teach you how to do internet marketing or how to build a website. But if you could spend a few thousand dollars to learn over the course of 3 to 6 months how to monetize your art, your video production, your writing, think about how that could change the next 2, 3, 5 decades of your life. You know, maybe it doesn't become something that makes you rich, but maybe it helps you make a little extra cash doing something you enjoy. So instead of having to put in extra hours at a job you hate, you're able to spend time doing something that lights you up. And maybe you get to a point where you can quit that job you hate altogether. Who knows? What I do know is that it wasn't an option for your grandparents, and probably not even your parents, but it is an option for you. So to me, that is a skill that is worth learning about and investing in. Just get comfortable investing in yourself. It's not free, but that's the point. You're worth it. When you pay attention. I can give away all of this information for free, and I do on this podcast. But the people who pay to work with me get more because they're investing in themselves. That's just human nature. So lean into that and get comfortable investing in yourself. And the last tip that I want to talk about, this request came from Rashad. So thank you, Rashad. He wanted to hear more about bullet number 22, which is the magic is in the middle ground. And this is one of those that is so important. It could be its own whole podcast, or honestly, it could be a whole book, but I'm going to keep it brief for the purposes of this episode. When I was first creating this podcast, way back in 2020, when I first started, I was debating a few different names. And obviously I landed on Happy, Healthy, Human, because that's what I think sums up all of the things that I think are so important. But some of the names that I thought about before that were the gray area and the middle ground, because they mean the same thing. And it's that important that I really thought that that is what this whole show is about. Because human thinking is black or white. It's all or nothing. It's this or that. We tend to live in extremes. And that's because extremes are simple. They're idiot-proof. There's no nuance. There's no thought needed. People want an answer. Tell me what to do and I'll do it. Is it investing in stocks? That'll get me rich. Or is it real estate? Or is it crypto? We want a simple one-stop shop to dump all of our money into. Just tell me where to put my money and then I can never think about it again. For exercise, should I run? Should I CrossFit? Should I lift? Just tell me what to do. And I can do that 5 times a week and never think about it again. But the reality is that the magic lies in the nuance. It's not either or, it's both and. It's not diet or exercise. It's having a basic understanding of both, as I just talked about in the previous point. It's not lifting or cardio or stretching or yoga. It's probably finding a way to balance all of them. And that's the more challenging part. It's not real estate or crypto or stocks. It's learning about the pros and cons of each and keeping a portfolio that's reasonably diversified. But these words, reasonable, balanced, diversified, we don't like these words. They don't sound sexy. We want flash and sizzle and bang. And yet, reasonable, balanced, that's where we need to be. The extremes are simple. They're thoughtless, but they're also unsustainable. Everyone's had the experience of going all in on something, but not getting the desired result because they can't keep up the pace. When you go from never working out to exercising 5 times a week, when you go from having no structured diet at all to trying to stick to strict paleo, or maybe you go from just working on your 9-to-5 to trying to maintain a full-time 9-to-5 job plus committing all of your after work hours to a side hustle. So, you know, notice again, just 5 minutes ago, I said, exercise, eating well, learning to make money on the side are all worthwhile endeavors. But again, it's about the nuance. The point is to not just do that thing all in, even though that sounds like the right answer. The point is to find the middle ground. You need to exercise more than zero, but probably not as much as a pro athlete or a bodybuilder. You need to eat healthier than you did in college, but probably don't try to be so perfect that it's unsustainable in the long run. Because your brain will try to trick you. Naturally, you start to assume, well, if some is good, then more must be better. If some exercise is good, then exercising more will get me there quicker. If I should cut back on processed carbs, then it makes more sense that I should just cut it all out completely right now forever. We naturally continue to lean into things, but eventually you lean too hard and it tips. And it gets to a point where more is not better, and it actually has the reverse effect and it becomes more detrimental. And beyond that, when you get stuck in the more, more, more mentality, it backfires and then you start to look at things differently. Because you might think, well, if meditating for 5 minutes is good, then meditating for 20 minutes is 4 times as good. But wait, that means if I can't meditate for 20 minutes, if I can only meditate for 5 minutes, what's the point? Because now I'm missing out on 75% of the goodness. And now you're trapped. You either do so much that it's unrealistic and unsustainable, and you go at a pace that you're eventually going to quit, or you don't do it at all. You quit right away because you see that you can't keep up with that higher pace and it feels like doing less is pointless. And it just goes on and on. You're on a merry-go-round to nowhere. And that's why the magic is in the middle ground, taking the long, boring, unsexy road. It's doing enough to move the needle, but not so much that it burns you out. You will feel like it isn't enough. You will feel like it isn't happening fast enough. And trust me when I say that is your brain trying to trick you. You have to do your best to not fall for it. Nuance is the key if you want to stay the course. And in the long run, it's staying the course that gets you to where you want to go. So, in the spirit of staying sustainable, I'm going to end this here today. I don't want to go on for too long, and I'd rather leave this bite-sized chunk for you so it's a little bit more digestible. Again, if you want to read the full 34-point list, go into the show notes and click 34 Pieces of Life Advice Substack to find the full blog. And if you want to support the blog or the show, subscribe for less than the cost of a Starbucks latte. Thanks for being on this journey for me, and thanks for allowing me to continue to do what I love. Here's to another revolution around the sun.
That's all for this week. Be sure to subscribe and follow the show so you don't miss a beat. Support the show by sending this episode to a friend or leaving a rating and review on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you're listening. Stay happy, stay healthy.